Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
It's Friday. We've got a Minnesota on Friday. Everybody's Minnesoting the weekend. Friday. Minnesoting on Friday. Everybody's Minnesoting for the weekend. Minnesoting. Yeah. Minnesoting. Yeah. Minnesoting for the weekend.
Yeah, dude.
That felt cheap.
I love fried eggs.
Because on Prom Queen, I used that as my recap song. And so it just like felt like a waste.
Yeah. That was my first thought was, wow, you've already sang this.
Honestly,
cheater.
I'm a sellout. I jumped the shark. That bit has officially jumped the shark this week with me revisiting Friday.
Yeah, I'm
Rebecca
sure.
Black. I was just like, we can't do Minnesota Friday and not sing Friday. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to be honest, I'm certain you said fried egg. So
what?
Who even gives a shit?
Play that again. I did not say fried egg.
Roll the tape.
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. I was going to do, it's Friday night and we're Minnesoting Glee. Money. But that is such a reach that I don't think anyone even knows what I'm singing.
I certainly didn't know what you were singing.
That
felt like an out-of-body experience.
Called?
I don't even know.
It's an NSYNC song. It's Friday night and I just got paid. Money.
Oh,
also,
sure.
I am fully just switching keys halfway through. It's called Just Got Paid. It's off their album.
Of course.
No Strings Attached.
Of course.
Well,
would you say you're a bigger fan of NSYNC than the Backstreet Boys?
And not even close. NSYNC blows Backstreet Boys out of the water.
Of course.
I love everybody. I love, what is that song called? You Are My Fire. I love those songs. No shade to those songs. NSYNC is so much better than Backstreet Boys. It's not even close.
Of course.
What about you?
Well, I like the Spice Girls. You know that.
Well, I
didn't listen to boy bands in the 90s. I was too busy being a misandrist toddler.
Whatever. NSYNC is
honestly,
where it's at.
No, I think I agree. The songs that I like from those bands, I wouldn't say that I was like into the boy band scene because I was like a toddler in the 90s, but I definitely would say that my preference skews NSYNC.
Yeah. I would say that like I Want It That Way, which is the name of that song that I couldn't remember. I would say that that is probably like the most famous boy band song of the 90s, sure. Which is Backstreet Boys. But I think like pound for pound, NSYNC has more songs that are still in like the pop culture zeitgeist than the Backstreet Boys does.
Totally. Like I swear to God, I can't go to Target. It's gonna
be May.
Oh, I know. I can't go to Target without hearing Dirty Pop. Like, that I swear. It's amazing.
It's so good. Sick and tired of hearing all these people talking about what's the deal with this pop life and when is it gonna fade out?
What you got to realize,
what we're doing is not a trick.
Can you tell?
We got to get the melody. We're gonna bring it to the end. I know we're totally off from each other.
I know. I do. You're doing a good job ignoring me. Because that's the thing, is either one person keeps up and one person, if one person is keeping up, one person has to ignore them.
Yeah.
Because I'm keeping up with you, so you must be like ignoring me. Good. Yes.
No, that's my pet peeve, is when I try to sing with people over Zoom and we both keep trying to align with each other. Like, it's like, it's not going to happen. Yeah, there's lag. One of you just has to plow ahead and then the other has to try and follow them.
Someone's got to keep their internal like metronome like in check. Exactly. And the other person's got to do their own thing, you know.
Well, hello everyone. My name is Ian Allred. I am an NSYNC fan first, a mini Gleek second.
Hey, what's up you guys? My name is LPC and I'm a Spice Girls fan. Before anything else, but respect. Second to all of that is I'm a Gleek, but mostly mini today on Friday.
If you want to know some, things about me about NSYNC and the Spice Girls, I think I might have mentioned this. My senior year of high school, I performed "Bye Bye Bye" and like we learned the original choreo and like performed it. But also, like, my junior year of high school, me and three of my friends made up a dance to If You Want to Be My Lover. It was, in fact, the dance from the music video, but only half that music video is them dancing.
Yeah, and they're mostly just walking around being cuties.
So we learned all the choreo we could and then made up the rest. And we were going to perform it at a dance. Like, we were going to request it and then do it. And then it didn't end up happening. So we just learned it for literally no reason. So
I love that.
Good
That's
times.
What makes you my friend. Well, I remember one of my favorite memories ever. I think I mentioned this on the podcast before, but it's high time I mentioned it again, is when we were having our Star Wars marathon with our friend group in college. We, a group of like half of the group went to go get snacks and the other half, the lazy half, held it down at the house. We were half, obviously. And you and I got to talking. And then we realized that we both, like, with our sisters growing up, would make up dance to Spice Girls songs, make up dances to Spice Girls songs. And we did the dances next to each other. And they were, like, nearly identical. It was the funniest thing ever. I need to find it. It's on my Instagram memories. If I don't watch it right now, I will not be able to carry on.
Also, the lazy half, we were entertaining, we were keeping morale up.
I mean, that's what I would say, but I said that mostly to appease the other half. Obviously, they're all listening to the podcast.
I would say that that takes more effort than just like getting in a car and picking up food. To just like keep the human spirit alive and moving is honestly a selfless sacrifice.
I just watched it from 99 weeks ago.
Hear me out. You're like halfway have a voice. Yeah. It's very charming.
Is it? Oh, thank you. Well, it's my whole personality now. I appreciate you saying that because I feel like ass. Not that I like physically feel like ass, but I'm like ready to sing again. Like I went to go play the guitar yesterday and I was like, I cannot even sing. And I went to like go look at auditions this morning and I was like, well, I can't fucking sing for auditions this week. So what's that about? And then I went to go do audiobook auditions and it's like, no, they're going to fall in love with my charming, raspy voice. And then next week when I'm Nasal McGee, they're going to fire me. Are you ready to talk about? Oh my God, what episode are we talking about? I don't even know.
Saturday Night Gleaver.
I'm so excited to do the mini-show for this episode. Sorry we gave you all the runaround this last week. As you can tell, we threw out our voices going to Halloween Horror Nights. Those Haunted Houselers were fucking scary.
Yeah, also just like the whole vibe there is, hear me out, too much.
I think we went at the wrong time. We went literally Halloween weekend. I bet, hear me out, we should go next year. I really would like to go again, but we should go if we can. Obviously, if we're living in like New York, obviously that's not a thing. But if we go again next year, we should go in like early September.
Well, hear me
out.
Or
like my birthday.
If we're living on the East Coast, we're closer to Florida. Let's just go to Orlando. Because I have been to Halloween Horror Nights multiple times, but it was always when I was living in Orlando.
Yeah.
And I went like Halloween weekend. And yes, like the lines were long, but the park itself is so much bigger.
Right.
That you can just like get a moment alone, you know?
Totally.
Like you can just like get away from everyone.
No, totally.
Universal Hollywood is so cramped that there was not an inch of that park that wasn't like crawling with people with like heavy metal music blasting in your face and scare actors like rubbing up on you.
I did love that.
Well, that's fun, but sometimes you're like, okay, I need like a little bit of a break.
No, totally.
And there was nowhere to have a break. And so it was just sensory overload at all times.
Well, that's the thing is we definitely had like huge sensory overload after one of the lines, because one of the lines was like 2 hours long. And then the walkthrough was like, heaven knows, a minute and a half. So we went to try and find somewhere quiet to sit down. And sure, we found somewhere that was like not a ton of people were there. But like, God, the sound bleed in Universal Hollywood is whack as fuck. Like, we were sitting there, and it was, like, loud, like rock and roll music from one end, and then it was the Simpsons song coming from another end, and then Harry Potter music coming in. Oh, my God, it was wild. I was like, I'm gonna die here. Like, if I'm not, like, being rubbed up against by, like, strangers or, like, a scare actor, I'm, like, getting mentally fucked by all these songs. It was terrible. Oh, my God, I hated it.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Well, I would go again for sure, but I would definitely need to go, like, not Halloween and maybe not to Universal Hollywood. I remember we were walking through Harry Potter Land, and I was really excited, but you were like, you've never seen this before. And I was like, why on earth would I go to Universal Hollywood?
True.
Like, this place is weird.
Just spend the extra money and get Diagon Alley in there, too. Universal Orlando rocks.
No, totally. Well, I remember I went to Universal Hollywood once with my family, but we got, like, front of the line passes.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's totally a thing you can do at Universal Studios. And we were like, that was amazing. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I went with my Girl Scout troop later in life, like probably 3 years later. And I was like, this is way less fun. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm not coming back here because I don't have the cash.
Speaking of Universal Hollywood, the reason to go to Hollywood is because they have the studio tour where you like go on the tram.
Yeah. Which, that's amazing.
Yeah, and you pass the movie sets. All this to say that for Halloween Horror Nights...
Oh, which was the best part.
The studio tram gets like re-themed as like a haunted house.
Uh-huh.
And it was Purge themed.
Oh my God.
And so the conceit is like, it's the Purge... And you are going to, like, a purge party.
Yeah.
Where, like...
You can, like, get out all your frustrations.
Yeah, you, like, go, you, like, take
the
tram.
The whole concept of a purge is so wild to me.
I know. You, like, take the tram, and it's supposed to be a purge-free zone where you can just, like, go and, like, you're safe and you're having a good time. But then you find out when you're on the tram that it's actually a trap.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of, like, people waiting there to kill you.
Uh-huh.
And then you, like, get off the tram, and you're supposed to, like, walk through the zone, and, like, everyone's trying to kill you. Like, that's the conceit. But really, all it is they drive the tram to, like, the set of Psycho.
Yeah.
And you, like, walk through the Bates Motel, and then you walk through the set of War of the Worlds. And every once in a while, there's, like, a person with a rubber machete who just, like, kind of, like...
Yeah. There's, like, a man in a ghillie suit.
Like,
it's, like,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, just, like, reaches for you.
There's a man dressed like Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. And, like, frankly, that was the least scary house of the night for me. I was not scared
at all. No, not at all. It was honestly really fun. So annoying.
We were far more interested in the movie sets than, like, the actual Purge
theming. I
know, we
were getting distracted. We were like, look at this plane, it's so beautiful.
And so,
I'm like, oh my God, the Bates Motel, I'm dying.
Seriously, so, like, the actors are trying to scare us, and we're actively like, this is the hotel room where she gets stabbed.
I know,
look,
you were, like, Marco Poloing your family, and you're like, look, it's the sign.
And
it was
then,
so funny.
And then Lena and I kept, every time an actor would jump out at us, we'd go, happy Purge. And then this is the best joke we ever did. On the War of the Worlds set, there is like some cop cars, because, you know, like there's cop cars in the movie. And we kept going, no cops at Purge.
Homophobic. Well, I was so surprised that there would be a cop car. And I was like, who brought the cops here?
Seriously, like, isn't the point of the purge that there's no authorities for 12 hours? Get out of here.
I know. Like, you can't cart off the cop car. Right? You can't cart off the cop car for 2 months. Come on, Universal Hollywood. But honestly, I felt bad when we got back on the tram for the people who were around us, because we were like laughing and like yelling happy purge and like waving to the actors. We're like, happy purge. Oh my God. We are so annoying.
That was my favorite, is the actors stopped even trying to scare us, because they would see us coming from like 100 feet away and we'd be smiling and waving going, happy
we're
purge.
We're walking around like two missionaries like hey guys. Honestly, I honestly love that about us. I love laughing when I wasn't too scared in that one, but I love laughing when I'm scared, and I love like sticking to a bit. Y'all listen to this podcast. You know us. And
you
honestly
know how much we laugh. It's because we're scared all the time on this podcast. We live in terror.
Bitch, that is not a lie. I do live in terror. But that was so fun. Yeah, if you guys get the chance to go to a haunted house with Ian and I, we're fun.
Ayo, ayo.
Ayo, ayo. Speaking of, someone's got some choice words for us. Should we start this minisode off?
Heck yeah.
With a message from Charlotte.
Hi, Lena. Hi, Ian. It's Charlotte from Sydney, Australia.
International listener.
Look, I didn't want to have to come on the podcast and like address the beef that is happening between you two and me, but it's just gone too far this time. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to say it. I don't know if you've realized, but Sydney, Australia is actually quite far away from Anaheim, California, and you two constantly talking about how you're just like parading off to Disneyland at any given time is actually really rude and very offensive and just like bullying to me personally. No other Australian but me. Guys, I'm gonna need an apology this time because I'm probably not gonna be getting to Disneyland, like, I don't know, in the next 5 years, 10 years even, because of COVID. Guys, an apology would be nice. Seriously though, I love you both. Love the podcast. Consensual kiss on your forehead. Bye.
Charlotte, I'm glad you caught on, because we were going to Disneyland specifically to bully you. So I'm glad you got it. First of all, I was nervous. We were there and we were in line. I was like, I don't know if Charlotte's going to understand that this is specifically to make her feel bad.
Yeah, honestly, our second day, we were wearing We Hate Charlotte shirts, just parading them around Disneyland. We were handing them out to other people. But, you know, Charlotte.
Sad. Charlotte, we love you. I'm just kidding. Keep going
with
the bit.
I think you are correct. We do owe you an apology. So, right here, right now, we would just like to say, we're sorry for party rocking.
Yeah, sorry, Charlotte. We're sorry for party rocking. But for real, Charlotte, if you make it to Disneyland in the next decade, let us know, dude. No, for real, I'm so sorry. But I'm glad we can squash our beef publicly, because we are sorry
for party rocking. Yeah. Yeah. So just to like rub it in a little more, Lena, what was the highlight of Disneyland October 2K21 for you?
Great cue. No, for real, my highlight, I really enjoyed all of it. So much of it was so fun. But I randomly like caught the bug of doing really good in the games that day.
That's day true.
Two, I won the Midway Mania, and I won the Spider-Man ride.
The like newest one.
Yeah. Like I like kicked serious ass. I was like, what's going on here on this day? And when I went on Radiator Springs Racers, I won that one too. So, yeah.
That's true.
I don't know what it was. I realized recently, pardon me, I'm not necessarily like a competitive person, but I am a very sore winner. Like, I don't really care when I don't lose, but when I win, I don't let people forget it. And it was honestly, I was like, oh no, is Ian annoyed with me? But starting with Barney Rock and Bench.
I do the same thing. I always like talk a big game about how I'm going to lose so that if I lose, it's not embarrassing because I already said I was going to. Yeah. And then if I win, I'm like, eat it. I won. My favorite thing is friend of the podcast, Jalen, talked a lot of smack before Toy Story that he was like,
he was like, I've got the home team advantage.
Yeah, he was like, I come here all the time. I just want you to know that like I'm gonna wipe the floor with the two of you.
Totally.
Guess who fully got third place out of the three
absolutely
of us? Jalen.
It was so funny because I was like, I was, first of all, we would trade off because we went in the group of three, like who was like alone on which ride, and it was my turn to be alone. So I was like, seriously, I don't think I'm gonna win. But like, I'm like my, like, I was just like, I had no distractions. My head was full in the game. So I didn't even expect to win. But then I won like the whole cart, like the cart of like the six groups. I got the highest score. I was like, did I get the highest score of all time in Midway Mania? I think I did. They gave me an award. I was like yelling so loud to try and get you guys to acknowledge that it was my score. I was like, guys, that's my score. Guys, that's my score. And like, because we were looking at each other, I didn't know if you knew or not. So I just kept screaming, guys, that's my score. And I like took pictures of it. Oh my God, let's put that on the Instagram as all of our scores. Because I took pictures of that and I took pictures of our Spider-Man scores as well.
Oh, heck.
Because
yeah.
I'm what? A sore free winner. What was your best part of the vacation? Specifically the Disneyland part.
I just liked California Adventure. I haven't been to California Adventure in a hot minute because I usually am saving money by just going to Disneyland.
And you're always going just for one day.
Yeah, and we really said, money be damned this trip. Frankly, my bank account felt it. I'm kind of panicked about how much money I spent, but it's okay.
I know. I just paid my credit card bill and I went,
Yeah. But it was so, I just like hadn't been there in forever and I just love California Adventure. And like Avengers Campus is in fact so tiny. But I had anticipated that beforehand and I had a great time.
Yeah. One of my favorite moments was in California Adventure. So friend of the podcast, Jalen and I both are, the same person in a lot of ways, but mostly we don't like drop rides. So Ian went on Guardians of the Galaxy by himself, which, good. I'm glad he did.
Which and I also like walked straight onto. It was wild. It was honestly a 10-minute wait for that ride, which never happens.
We just like kept around Adventures Campus and we were like looking around. We were walking around. We were like looking at all the characters. And then the Black Panther women came out. What are they called? The
Dora Milaje.
And
Milaje.
They did
something like that.
The And they came out and did like a little performance for us. And they like, oh my God. Like, first of all, the woman playing Okoye, is that her name?
Yes.
Yes. She was so fucking funny and so smart and so witty and so beautiful. I was like, someone put this woman on Broadway right now. Get her out of California. She was so amazing. And like, honestly, the show was like very emotional. They started out with like a moment of silence for like people who we've lost, which like obviously is
Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, exactly. And and then she was like, look around, see everyone and let yourself be seen. And Jalen and I were like, this is way too much for noon at Disneyland. It was honestly very beautiful and like very inspiring. And I was like, I did not sign up to be absolutely changed today at Disneyland. And that was so beautiful.
Well, Charlotte, I hope you enjoyed us rubbing that in your face.
Yeah, just so you know, our t-shirts, while they did say we hate Charlotte, they also said, this trip is in the name of Charlotte because we love her, but also to rub this in her face. So the t-shirt, it had a lot of layers to it.
And then we're all wearing booty shorts and on the butt it said, sorry for party rocking.
Oh my God. Dude, my family is so annoyed with me. You have no idea. If you came over here, they'd probably punch you in the face. Charlotte, thank you so much for your message. Sorry for party rocking. Up next, we have a message from Rosie.
Hey y'all, I'm Rosie They Them, and I'm from England. Play that bloody jingle.
International listener!
Wait, can you say that as British Tony?
Hey y'all, I'm Rosie. Oh wait, I literally just started saying it normal. Hey, y'all, I'm Rosie, they, them, and I'm from England. Play that bloody jingle.
International listener!
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Want to hear something fun? I did an audition last night where I had to, like, be a bad actor.
Did British Tony come out to play?
Yes. Because one of the sides was like the character and the other was the character pretending to be someone else and they were supposed to do a bad job. And so I literally was just British Tony.
Oh my God. If British Tony gets you a job.
I hope so.
I will personally pay for your next trip to Disneyland.
I'm holding you to that. All right.
I don't mean it.
I tried to send this as a voicemail, but Anchor hates me. So here we are. As someone...
Dude, that was violent.
It's all caps.
I know.
Just trying to give Rosie the emotion they put into this. As someone who recently watched Saturday Night Fever for the first time, I have a lot to say about this episode. First of all, the only things I knew about this movie were from this episode and the soundtrack. Absolutely no one warned me of the incredibly dark themes in this film, especially in the last half hour. Spoiler warning and definite trigger warning for sexual assault and suicide. The fact that Will makes Finn watch this movie is a crime, considering that not two episodes ago, someone Finn knows tried to kill themselves, and in the last 10 minutes of this movie, one of Tony's close friends accidentally kills himself. Again, a crime. Second of all, there is an attempted rape scene and another gang rape scene that both come completely out of nowhere and are so disturbing, especially when you think you're just going to watch the fun aesthetic disco movie. No. This movie is a nightmare, and I should have turned it off after More Than a Woman and gone to bed happy. Also, Will says he sees a lot of Tony in Finn. Listen, I get the lost kid aspect, but if my teacher compared me to a character that tried to rape someone, I would 100% file a lawsuit. Glee has this really weird habit of doing tribute episodes to pieces of media with dark themes and then completely glossing over those themes in the episode. They did it with Rocky Horror, and they're doing it with Saturday Night Fever. It's weird to me that they choose to do these iconic movies while sugarcoating them and doing them a disservice. If they're not even going to address it, they shouldn't do it at all, in my opinion. Because this show turned my fun little movie night with my housemates into a very depressing, intriguing experience for all of us. Whoops. Anywho, lots of love and many consensual forehead kisses, Rosie.
Eek, Rosie, thank you for letting us know the full plot of that movie, because I did not know at all. At all, which is so weird because and everything I read about it, it didn't talk anything about that. It was just like, it's about a dance competition. The Congress loves it. You know what I mean? So that's so interesting that it has those dark themes. But also the 70s were wild, you guys. I don't know if you were there, but I certainly was.
I was too. Something you may not know about us is that we're both in our 50s.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
No big deal.
We just look really good. I moisturize well.
No, yeah, that's bonkers. What's bonkers to me, I mean, I totally agree, Rosie. It's like very annoying to me that Glee just does these like pretty explicit and dark movies. They do like a little tip of the hat and they're like, it's just fun and cheery, kids. Yeah. Go watch it.
And then when people go watch it, it's triggering for them.
Because you know Glee was my introduction into Rocky Horror. And thankfully, like, I kind of, like, knew the business about Rocky Horror.
Right.
And so I knew that, like, Ian at 15 was not ready to watch that movie. So I did not. But I would, like, watch clips on YouTube. And then every once in a while, I'd see a clip and be like, ah, what? But, yeah, it's bonkers.
Yeah.
I don't remember where I was going with that.
But yeah, that's so interesting. And it's like, also, don't you have to like get permission to watch a rated R movie in school?
Oh, super. Actually, like, I don't know if you're allowed to, at least in the Scottsdale Unified School District. You had to get signed permission slips from everyone in the class to show a PG-13 movie.
Really? Oh, I don't think we did that.
Well, at least like in middle school.
Sure.
I don't know if that was the case in high school, but I do remember in middle school we had to get our parents to sign permission slips before like the teacher could show the movie. And then a rated R movie, you just could not show as far as I know.
Right. I remember in junior high, my history teacher got in a ton of trouble for showing us The Patriot. Have you seen that movie?
Mm-mm.
It is so violent. It is so violent. But like, and all, like that teacher was like way too into the Civil War. Like one of those teachers. Mm-hmm. Like something's off. So showed us the Patriot. But there's like a version of the Patriot with like just less blood. He got in so much trouble.
Heck yeah. I do remember my choir teacher, because, you know, my school had the, like, PG-13 rule, and then you couldn't show rated R.
Yeah.
But, like, stage shows have no rating.
Yeah.
And my choir teacher, on a choir trip, took us all to see Jersey Boys.
Oh, you've told me this before. That is so wild. I cannot even imagine.
Never in my life heard the F word more in my life than in Jersey Boys. And there's, like, a scene where, like, one of them is having sex off stage, and the other ones are, like, watching and describing it. And it was so funny because it is all these like sheltered choir kids, some of whom are like 14 in this audience.
Yeah.
And intermission hits. My choir teacher had never seen it. She just heard it was good.
Oh, intermission my gosh, hits. Are you kidding?
She turns around to all of us and goes, "Well, sorry." And then we just stayed for act two. We just kept watching.
Dude, good for you guys. Honestly, that's art, baby.
Well, all this to say that honestly, Will showing Finn Saturday Night Fever is not like too out of touch with what arts teachers sometimes do.
Honestly, like, I really think sometimes arts teachers have like way too much power.
However, I will say that like seeing a show that like had the F word a bunch of times in it, and like had
you're
like
a better person for it.
Well, no, but like is completely different than a movie that has full rape scenes.
No, completely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like even seeing The Patriot is like, that's honestly, that's very violent and upsetting. But like I would have been beside myself if a teacher told me to watch this movie and compared me to the main character who feels like probably the villain from Rosie's description. So,
like, watch this to be motivated about having a better life.
Well, it worked for Finn. Jeez, did any of them watch it? I don't know. Anyway, Rosie, thank you so much for your message, and thanks for shedding some fucking light on this movie. My God. Up next, we have a message from Crane.
Dearest besties. As always, I loved your episode on a Saturday Night Gleaver. I wanted to hop into the conversation about Unique, as I have the unique position of being a trans person mostly in the closet like her. I think that your take that Kurt and Mercedes and everyone else are misgendering her is a little more complicated than that. I love that y'all chose to use her pronouns and name that we later find out are more accurate, but I think it is unreasonable to accuse people of misgendering someone when they are not out of the closet. Unique gives Kurt and Mercedes no direct instructions about names and pronouns. Unique even introduces herself as her old name. But can we even call it a dead name if that is how she identifies in the moment? For example, I still introduce myself as my old name because I haven't made the transition to my new name in most contexts yet. As far as we know, Unique is still super early in her trans journey. You might even argue that she doesn't know she is trans yet. I definitely exhibited signs that I was trans without acknowledging them. Maybe Unique's way to cope with her conflicting feelings about her gender is to redistribute her feelings into Unique as an alter ego. That is the way that a lot of trans folks start, using their new name online, in video games, and as a performance. All this to say, I think that Unique is a wonderful character, and I am so excited to see her transformation. I see a lot of myself in her, and I think that it is valuable to see her before she transitions because she does exhibit classic in-the-closet traits. I just want to emphasize that being in the closet is a choice, and there is often comfort found in the closet. It is familiar and safe. There is nothing wrong with staying in the closet to protect yourself. I also want to emphasize that being misgendered while in the closet is inevitable and keeps you safe. It would be wrong of Kurt and Mercedes to extrapolate Unique's story and use her new name and pronouns without clear permission. I apologize for this being so long. Love y'all. Crane, he, they.
Crane. Thank you so much for this perspective. Seriously, I love this take that like Kurt and Mercedes aren't necessarily misgendering her as much as like, you know, Unique is still in the closet and like hasn't even like come out to them. So it would be like A, not keeping her safe to like use these like this new name and these pronouns for her when she hasn't like explicitly said that, like you said it the best. It's just, I love this so much. And I so appreciate your perspective. Thank you for sharing it with us. Up next, we have a message from Story.
Hello, Ian and LPC. I agree so much with everything you said about this episode. Now, a warning. I'm about to jump through about a million hoops to say this, and I'm going to ignore so many illegal, immoral, and irresponsible plot points, but this is Glee, so here we go. One thing I love about the Britannia plot in this episode is the way it contrasts to the plot immediately preceding the Brittany-Artie breakup. When Artie was confronted with a situation concerning Brittany that he was completely understandably upset about, again ignoring the weird manipulation and consent issues here, he unthinkingly called her stupid for not understanding why what she was doing would hurt him. In this episode, Santana was confronted with a situation concerning Brittany that she was completely understandably upset about, and arguably should have been more upset about, but she's immediately able to recognize that Brittany had good intentions and talks to Brittany about it without getting angry or insulting Brittany. Admittedly, the two situations are so different, and again, we have to ignore a lot of other issues involved, but I do think it shows something really special about the bond that Santana and Brittany have. Both Santana and Brittany can be very difficult for other people to get along with, but they always understand each other. And I just think that's really sweet. Forever and always, a recovering Gleek, Story, she, her.
Oh my gosh. I love this so much. Like, especially like in contrast with the Brittany Artie thing. I love this. Story, thank you so much for pointing this out. I'm obsessed with this. Ugh. It just like is like, wow, someday somebody is like, you know, you're going to make a mistake and somebody's still going to love you and not insult you. Like, mm-hmm. I just love that. I love that so much.
Yeah. And we've like talked a lot of stink about like the weird dynamics in the Britannia relationship with like, sometimes it feels like Santana's manipulating Brittany and like that's all sketchy and she lies to her and blah, blah, blah. We have not really given the due to like the healthy aspects.
Yeah.
Specifically in exactly what you're saying, Story, how Santana like knows Brittany so well, understands her so well, and is able to see like when Brittany does something that's a little like not super cool, Santana like understands the root of it and what her intentions were and is able to appreciate those intentions while also being like, but this thing you did was not cool to do.
Totally. And like, I think like Brittany walks away knowing that like what she did, like it didn't help, you know, but like, isn't like walking away feeling like, you know, like, cause like the Brittany Artie thing, like, of course, like Artie felt cheated on. Artie was being cheated on, absolutely. But like the way he like reacts in like huge anger and like insulting her, and like versus this. Ugh, I love it. Wow, that's called growing up.
Well, frankly, I think Artie's reaction was justified. It just also shows why they were not going to work together.
Sure.
Like, no part of me is like, Artie overreacted. Like, not only was Brittany having an emotional affair, she was also having sex with Santana. But, like, it does go to show why they broke up and didn't get back together.
Yeah.
Because Artie and Brittany just were on different pages.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, Santana just gets Brittany in a way that Artie didn't. And so she is able to, like, make it through moments where Brittany messes up, and at the same time, Brittany gets Santana in a way others don't. And so Santana can be like so mean and lash out at her, and Brittany can be like, oh, this is, you don't actually mean this. This is because you're hurting because of this other thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Britannia forever. Story, thank you so much for your message. Up next, we have a message from Molly.
Hi, Lena and Ian. My name is Molly, and my pronouns are she, her. I wanted to tell you guys that your friendship means so, so much to me. I'm re-listening to past episodes, and while listening to the Grilled Cheeses episode, I started crying because I think that your friendship is so beautiful. When I was in my sophomore year of high school, I had a friend tell me that she was sad because she would miss me when she went to heaven and I didn't. And that really messed me up for a long time. And hearing Lena talk about how she asked Ian once if she was going to hell and he said no just made me start bawling. Your friendship is so beautiful, and I hope you stay friends forever and ever. On to a lighter topic. Dalton is 100% a boarding school. McKinley is a public school, which means that you have to live in the district to attend school there, so it makes sense that Blaine actually lives nearish to Kurt and was boarding at Dalton. There are also schools where there is the option to board, but not everyone does, and it costs a lot of money. So Kurt was probably living at home and commuting every day, because his family is apparently poor, I guess, to save money. And the reason that he would be staying so late is he would sleep over with Blaine, who boarded at the school, and his other Warbler friends. That's what I think about that subject. Also, I'm not sure if you have touched on this already, but it is impossible to talk about Sugarmata without talking about the Britannia theory. There is a theory that Sugarmata is Britannia's child who time-traveled from the future to make sure that Britannia stayed together. Anyway, that's all. Thank you guys for making such an incredible podcast. I love you both. Molly.
How do you feel about the Britannia theory? I've heard it before. I buy it.
Yeah, we had, like, a long, long time ago, we had someone mention it in an email. You know, Glee is bonkers enough that if that were made canon and they were like, a surprise, I think I would be like, that's weird, and then get over it in like 10 minutes.
No, totally. I'd be like, okay, I would take that as fact and like move on.
I mean, big spoiler, everyone skip forward 30 seconds. You know who attends Britannia's wedding? Sugarmata. And
yeah.
At that point, she hasn't been in the show for like 2 years.
Yeah.
She comes back for the wedding.
Wild.
Because mission accomplished, she's celebrating.
She's like, I can't wait to be born.
And you know who doesn't go?
Quinn Fabre. What the fuck is that about?
What that's about is that Lea Michele and Ryan Mayfrey hated her.
Yeah,
anyways.
Molly, this message is so sweet. I read it and I was like, that's so sweet. Little do they know, Ian and I hate each other.
Yeah, little do you know, this is all a show. It's like when, you know, like when managers make two actors pretend to date for publicity.
Absolutely.
Our managers made us pretend to be friends for publicity. Mm-hmm. We hate each other.
We do. We met each other and we were like, blah.
Yeah, it actually, we had never met before recording the first episode. Both our managers were like, we're putting you together and you have to pretend to be friends to talk about Glee. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
It's a nightmare.
So, Molly, we're glad we scammed you. No, just Molly. Kidding. I, like, let's get emotional for a second. I love being your friend, for real. I remember I got sad at Disneyland, and then we went back to our hotel, and we just talked on, like, in the middle of the night. It was, like, 3 a.m. We were like, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. It was so fun, and I was like, this guy is my best friend. I love him.
I love being your friend, too. You guys, Lena has seen me through so many panic attacks. It's the best.
I know. I've seen you through so many. I mostly sleep through them now, which I'm so sorry about.
You're fine.
Oh, my gosh.
You know so what funny. Lena loves? To have Ian in a crisis come over to her house and lay on her couch and then distract me.
Well, and
it's her favorite pastime.
I like never know how to help people, so I mostly just like be there in present with my presence, and I'm like, well, would you like to watch The Floor is Lava? I was like, well, would you like to watch Two Broke Girls?
Yeah, no, it's the best. Two Broke Girls, come on.
Yeah, well, I get really frustrated when people try and fix things for me, so I always just try and be like just an anchor.
Well, back you're a good anchor.
Well, thank you.
.fm/recovering.
Oh my god. Which brings me to the episode that came out on Wednesday, because today is Friday, was, what's that episode?
Dance with Somebody.
Dance with Somebody. If you have thoughts about that episode, you should send them to us.
Oh, yeah, because that minisode is coming out on Monday, baby. You got, two? Honestly, hear me out. Mm. We're probably going to be recording that episode the day this one drops.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this on Friday, you better send them in ASAP.
Fast.
All right.
That's the end of our minisode, baby.
Love all of you. We're about to do Relative Pitch Game.
Dude, both I'm of pumped our... as f*** to do the Relative Pitch Game today. It's going to be good.
Both of our voices are a little shot. So
a little.
Get excited.
I wonder if my voice sounds worse in my head than it does in real life.
I'm
thinking it does.
I haven't heard you sing, but your speaking voice does not sound like you, but it doesn't sound bad.
Listen, I'm not going to hold back the punches, baby. I'm going to try my best.
All right. So in this episode, we got You Should Be Dancing, Night Fever, Disco Inferno.
I like
Disco
it.
Inferno. If I Can't Have You, How Deep Is Your Love, Boogie Shoes, More Than a Woman, Staying Alive, 8 bangers.
Okay, who's going first this week, dude?
Wouldn't you like to know? I believe it was... I think you went first last week, okay. But I honestly couldn't tell you.
There's a spreadsheet. We should just have the spreadsheet.
I know. I just keep forgetting to look. So,
pardon me.
Is like assignment of the week. For the Maxisodes, I forget that we have to do assignment of the week until the episode starts, and then I'm like, well, crap.
I know.
And I keep forgetting that we have to figure out who goes first relative pitch until we start, and then I'm like, well, crap.
You should be dancing. Yeah.
Oh, and you know what? Let's have you go first.
Okay, cool. That's fine.
I'm going to have you sing.
I'm so terrified.
Sing You Should Be Dancing.
Okay. My favorite was at midnight. Goes right until the dawn. My woman takes me higher. My woman keeps me warm. What you doing on your back? Ha ha. What you doing on your back? You should be dancing. Yeah, I'm really trying. That's the thing. I'm embarrassed. I really tried. Oh, my God. You should be dancing. Yeah. Oh, my God. You guys. Someone get this bitch a throat lozenge.
Okay, so you think... You should be dancing, yeah, is G, B flat, G, C, B flat, D.
Wow.
Ian from the future, shift all of that up a half step.
She's juicy and she's trouble.
You were a half step sharp.
Okay. Honestly, I'll take it. I don't even know what I sang. I don't even know. Like, it was so weird. It was such a weird experience to try and, like, hit the notes that I wanted to hit that I got lost in the sauce. So, geez Louise, I think you should sing More Than a Woman.
All right. More than a woman. More than a woman to me. Is that what I think it is? I just kind of did that because it jumped out, but I'm going to commit to that.
Honestly, I like that.
More than a woman. Okay, so I think that's... I think it's B-A-D-B.
Bad B.
More than a
bad
woman.
Bitch. That's
I think it's a bad B.
You think
B.
She is more than a bad bitch.
More than a bad bitch to me.
Oh, what? Romance. Ready?
Yeah.
This song is so beautiful.
Wait, did I get it right?
I think you got it. More than a bad bitch.
Oh my gosh, more than a bad bitch. I did
Listen,
it.
You only won because I lost. That's how this competition works. Only one of us can win.
Neither can win while the other wins.
Yay, I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
More than a bad bitch. Dude, they did that on purpose. They made it B-A-T-B on purpose.
Honestly, the Bee Gees wrote More Than a Bad Bitch, and then they were like...
They did.
Their producer was like, you cannot.
And they're like, let's just secret code this.
Yeah.
And rewrite the melody now. Oh, my gosh. Well, next week, I hope to be on my game. That's your mini-sode, y'all.
Get ready for mini-sode Monday on Monday. Exciting stuff.
Yeah, back to our normally scheduled schedule. See you Monday. We're going to be talking about... Oh, I want to dance with somebody. We'll see you then. Until then, we love you guys. Say it back. Here's a mini kiss on your mini forehead.
And until then, we have beef with you, Charlotte.
Yeah.
We rescind our apology. Bye.
Bye, Charlotte.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.